My name is Garrett Wilson. I'll tell you a bit more about my company as such in a bit, but the name of this presentation is Serving Clean URLs, which I'll explain, via custom internet media types on Tomcat. And of course, we've been talking about Tomcat here today. And what I'm going to show specifically about Tomcat, it seems a bit simple, except that I think no one's done it before. But I'm going to show you how something simple can be very useful if you integrate it with complementary technologies and tools into your workflow. The presentation today, you can get it. It's live. It's running right now. If you want to follow along on your phone, it's https://guise.io/mummy/present/clean-urls. If you can see that up here, it's tiny. But you'll notice there's no, so this presentation is live on the web right now. You'll notice there's no .html or whatever, and we'll talk more about that in a bit, because that's one of the big points of the presentation. And if you can't find it, you can just go to here, guise.io/mummy, and you can go through and there's a section on presentations. And here, of course, there's no .html or anything else. So my name, again, is Garrett Wilson. I have a consulting company for quite a few years, Global Mentor. We do consulting in about everything computer-related if you want to pay us for it. That's the website. That's the email. If you have any questions about the presentation, feel free to email me at info@globalmentor.com. So just quickly, we'll review some very basic stuff which everybody knows. So we'll go back to the very beginning of the web and talk about file extensions. The very original web, as everybody knows, I'm just repeating things everybody knows here, the way the web worked is that you'd pull down documents sitting on somebody's computer. So I've got an HTML file sitting on this computer. This computer says, I want that file. It's a .html file. You pull it down, and the browser shows it. Well, even in the beginning, before you had fancy graphical browsers, you had just text browsers, right? And this is maybe what a company site would look like about .html, product/widget, because they're selling widgets, .html. Then we had the dynamic server-side frameworks, such as JSP and stuff. It says, well, we want to dynamically generate all these HTML files. And instead of HTML, they put a .jsp extension on the end for Java server pages. Again, I'm reviewing here. And the Java server page, you might pass a query, say, I want to know about your widget as far as your products go. And this could be JSP, ASP, PHP, all sorts of scripting or template languages. And what would happen is that you would map this extension to some templating engine, and this still happens. In fact, Tomcat is, of course, this is at the very core of Tomcat. You can, in fact, on the next slide, something we've discussed recently on the Tomcat users list. Basically, you map this extension to your templating engine, whatever it is, in this case JSP, and it goes over and compiles that JSP, and it actually dynamically generates, actually creates a servlet first, but the point is that the servlet dynamically generates the text that comes back. And the browser gets a content type, text.html. And as far as the browser knows, that's just a static site sitting somewhere, right? And so the point here is that the extension doesn't matter to the browser. The browser just cares about that content type text HTML. And there's little secrets that I don't know how many people use it, but it's possible you could even go into Tomcat, for instance, in your web.xml file and configure all your HTML files to be mapped to your templating engine so that they all get interpreted as JSPs. So you have .jsp, you would have .html. So it looked like a .html file. It wouldn't confuse people with .jsp, but it would still get compiled and generated dynamically with your JSP engine. So all that's review, but to get down to the question about the central question is, if what matters to your browser is this HTTP content type text.html header, then why do we need file name extensions at all? Because like you saw at the very beginning, you know, it wouldn't help anybody telling them to go to my presentation if they put .html in the end or not. Why do they care? You know, they just want my presentation. We call this clean URLs. It's sort of a newer trend, especially with static site generators, which I'll get to in a bit. And basically, this looks a lot prettier. It's easy to put on a business card. It's easy to remember. You just say, tell somebody, go to my website, product/widget. You don't have to remember .html or .php, .pdf, or whatever. It's uncluttered. It's easy to remember. It works better with search engine optimization, if that stuff actually works. It's less fragile against implementation changes. You change from PHP to JSP or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just you remember this URL, and it's more semantic, right? We get RDF and all that other stuff, which I won't today. That's this story altogether. So, another interesting question then, how then does the browser, the server, such as Tomcat, know what content type header to send back? Well, I'm glad that Unicode has a facepalm emoji now. Most of the servers, they determine what content header to send back by looking at the file name extension, so we're back to where we started. So, the question here is then, how do we get our website to not have those extensions, to have quote-unquote clean URLs if we're using Tomcat? Well, one thing you can do with Apache HTTP server, and feel free, by the way, to stop me with any questions along the way. With Apache, you can use mod rewrite. It's very flexible, as everyone here probably knows. Here's an example that shows that I'm basically mapping incoming things to a web URL with no HTML, and then Apache will rewrite it to have a .html in the end. And it does some other fancy stuff here. For example, if you actually do add a .html, it redirects you to say, no, we really didn't want you to put the HTML, take it off. But even in the background, we're using it as if you did. And you can even put this in front of Tomcat. In fact, on some of my sites, I was and am for a while doing that, for a while longer until I switched to what I'm going to show you now. So that I put it in front of Tomcat so that Tomcat sees all these HTML files locally, but Apache says that the user requested, for example, widget.html, but the user really requested just widget. And so with mod rewriting, with URL rewriting, Apache basically got a URL that says, I want /widget, passed it to Tomcat saying, they really wanted widget.html, and so Tomcat serves that, and then it gets... you just got this layer of indirection. And in fact, Tomcat, which I've never used, but apparently there's a rewrite valve that works just like the Apache stuff. So you got all this magical stuff happening with the URL rewriting in between. So that's one way to do it, to get your clean URLs. But, again, going back, since if the browser just cares about the content type header, why do we need to rewrite altogether? So this project, all that was to get to the central core point of the project is we can tell Tomcat what content type header to send back using some alternate method than file name extensions. The solution that we use here is metadata sidecar files. A sidecar file, if you've used something like a raw file photography editing workflow such as Adobe Lightroom or something, they might, rather than editing the original image file, they would store the metadata in a similar file sitting next to the file that is a different extension. And that's what we're going to do here. We're going to put metadata about the file sitting beside the file to be served. And when I say sitting beside, it doesn't necessarily have to be in the same directory. It could be in a parallel directory structure, and I'll get to that in a second. And the little at sign, that's just a convention that we made up saying that's the convention for attribute or metadata sidecar files, the at meaning attributes. Just trying to be clever here. Now here is an example of the metadata file we're using. We're using a format called TERF, which I'll get to, I'll explain more in a second, but you can see it's similar to what you've seen in other metadata property files or YAML or whatever. Title equals widget, keywords equals blah, blah, blah. The important part, it says content type equals text HTML with a charge set of UTF-8. And this little part here just simply says this string should be as interpreted as a media type, an internet, a MIME internet media type. So for those of you who haven't heard of TURF, it's just a little segue. I'm going to have several segues during here for the other technologies we're using. The TURF format is something, it's a data format and framework, actually, with several serializations. I've been working on it for about 12 to 15 years or so. It's basically for people who, you may like YAML, but you're not a Python programmer, you're a Java programmer, so rather than indenting, you actually like delimiters and such. So it's like a YAML for Java programmers, or an RDF, if it had a serialization you could actually understand. JSON if you had types and dates and comments, so on and so forth. So feel free to check that out at earth.io/turf. But that's the format that we're using for the metadata sidecar files. So the goal? Question. Yeah.
So for the sidecar files, is it always one file, one sidecar for a file, or can there be like a global?
The current implementation, there's one sidecar file for each resource or content file being served. Yeah. So you probably wonder how to get all of those, and so we'll talk about that in a second. So the goal here then is how do we extend Tomcat to recognize these sidecar files? And this is the programming part of where we went in and got some of the embedded Tomcat files and extended them, so I'll walk you through what we did. The first thought was there's this nice thing called file resource, and I think that's an interface, and it I don't remember offhand if it's an interface or a class, but basically, I think it was a class actually. It says it's a web resource, and this one is going to be a file that we're serving. So there's something in there called get MIME type, so it's like, we'll just override that. And for get MIME type, we'll dynamically go out and look for these sidecar files. This little word final sort of stopped those plans. And so it was declared final, so we can't override get MIME type. But that's okay. We don't necessarily want to dynamically look that thing up each time, right? Because maybe you just want to go find out what it is, because you don't expect it to change all the time. So maybe you just want to find out what it is once, whenever you create the file resource. So we took a step back. What is it that creates those file resources? There's something called a web resource set. And this is, I didn't know this until I dug into the internals of Tomcat. Half of you probably know this, can recite in your sleep, and some of you probably wrote it, so I don't know. So we went to the web resource set, specifically Tomcat uses with its default servlet, a site dir resource set. Basically, it's a site resource set based on a directory. So all we did is we extended that thing, and this is a bit of the code. We create a new file resource, and here's the code that basically says, now we've got the file resource, go look to see if there's a metadata sidecar file. And if there is, load the content type, and if you find a content type, simply set the MIME type of the file resource. So it's not as complicated as you might have thought. Any questions so far, by the way? Am I going too fast, too slow?
Just right.
Just right. The gingerbread man speed. No, that was the Goldilocks speed. I'm mixing up my stories. So the next question is then, how do we get our custom, and we call it a site dir resource set. I misspoke earlier. What is in Tomcat is a dir resource set. The site resource set is our site dir resource set is our version of it. So how do we get this site dir resource set? It gets created at some point. It gets created by something called the implementation of web resource root. In this case, a standard root. So, and since there's no helpful factories or anything, because there were no need to at the time, I guess, there's no easy way to plug in a new way to create these different site routes and stuff. And so we had to override site root to create a web resource root which it works just the same, except that if it sees that it's creating a web resource route for a directory, rather than creating the dir resource set as it normally would, it would create the site dir resource set, which you just saw. So basically, we had to go several levels up. The whole point was to get this custom web resource set, which would set our MIME type. But we had to replace several things just so we could sort of do our own factory instantiation of what we wanted to create. So then how do we use that? And so what we created can be used by the Tomcat maintainers or the central people, the main people who are committed to Tomcat, or you can use this on your own right now in your own embedded Tomcat, and that's what we're doing. So I'll show you how to use it embedded Tomcat, and of course it's open and open source and free to be used by anyone. So to install the site root in Tomcat, here's exactly what we did to embed Tomcat. We create new Tomcat, set the port. You notice there's three directories here I'm going to talk about. There's the server directory that we tell Tomcat about, and that's an interesting thing that's, as we discussed on the Tomcat users list, it's required by the servlet specification. There has to be this directory. Even if you don't use it, if everything's embedded, you still have to have this certain directory. So that's what this will serve as the base directory in which the work directory is created inside of that. That's not central to our purposes, but that needs to be set. The second thing is the site directory. This is where we create a context in saying this is where all our resources are going to be stored. These are our actual static HTML files. And then lastly, we create our own site root. That's the thing I just showed you, which creates all the other stuff to get down to update the file resource. We set the resource to the context to be our site root rather than the default root, which would have been, or the standard root, which it had been by default. And we give it a site description directory. This is the directory tree in which all the sidecar files are going to be in. Now, it could be the same if you decide to put those sidecar files in with your actual resources you're serving. It could be the same as the site directory. In the default implementation of what you're going to see next, we decide to create a parallel tree just so that we accidentally don't bundle up those sidecar metadata files and give them to somebody or accidentally serve them somewhere. But you can do it either way with this, with the interface we created. And then standard stuff, you just add this, add a default servlet to Tomcat, and
No, I was going to ask if you use the web XML and server XML, but
No, we're using the
I see that you
the default servlet. But the important thing is that we're adding this to our context, and we set our site root into the context. So we're adding using the standard default servlet from Tomcat. But when it has time to go get its resources, it goes to the context in which we've set our own custom site root. So there's a lot less code changes if you just figured out where to poke the stuff in, you know. And so one thing I want to point out here is that in addition to the sidecar files for the HTML files, you may also have other files that you still want to have the extensions for, such as PNG files, for example. So you can still add those MIME mappings here to Tomcat so that you can have your image files with .png, .jpg, but your HTML files will not have an extension. So any questions so far? We've talked about clean URLs, then we've talked about how to update Tomcat using embedded Tomcat with these new files, to have Tomcat recognize a metadata sidecar file to dynamically get the MIME type from that rather than from the extension. And I'll back up just a second here. As I mentioned, all this is, the code we create is public, it's free to use. It's in the presentation, but here it is now. It's for example, it's on GitHub. Guys, Tomcat, it's all in a separate little module there. You can download it. This is live from GitHub. All right, so the next question is, which I thought you were going to ask, is then how do we get all those sites? If we have a sidecar file for each HTML file, how do we create all those? And then how do we remove all the extensions from our existing HTML files? Sounds like a lot of work. Well, you've probably heard of a, sort of a new trend. It's really an old idea. I don't know why it's a new trend now. I mean, I'm sure people were doing it 10 or 20 years ago, but it's become sort of a newer fad now. It's static site generation. It's basically where just like compiling a lot of source files and object files, your site is a bunch of either markdown files or HTML files, and you run it through something like Jekyll or Hugo or something, and it spits out a bunch of nicer HTML files. So it converts all the markdown files to HTML files. But the more interesting thing is that if you have some theme or some menus or something, and you, it will take that template and apply those to all of them and spit out all the HTML files. So I want to introduce you to another technology which I created called GUISE, G-U-I-S-E. And it's a suite of internet applications, CSS framework. It's a GUISE, it's an application framework. There's basically three major components here. The GUISE, the application framework, sort of like Apache Wicket, although I created around the same time as Apache Wicket, but I didn't know about Apache Wicket at the time. GUISE Skeleton is going to be a CSS framework that's more semantic than Foundation or Bootstrap. But what I want to concentrate on here is the component of the GUISE ecosystem called GUISE Mummy. GUISE Mummy is a pure Java static site generator, such as Jekyll or Hugo or something, except that I think Hugo's in JavaScript, Jekyll's in Ruby. Well, now we have one in pure Java. And it's really fast and does things that the others don't do. So it's pure Java. It plays well with Maven. Right now, it's fairly early stages. It's 0.2.0. So it just supports XHTML and Markdown, but that's still pretty useful. This entire site, by the way, was created using GUISE Mummy, using its facility to use clean URLs. It does templates. It uses embedded Tomcat to serve the sites locally, and it can deploy to AWS S3. So let me show you how that relates to the Tomcat serving clean URLs. In GUISE Mummy, again, it's just a static site generator. You, just like in Maven, you've got a source directory tree and an output or target directory tree. So here's some of the source files that I'm going to use to generate a site. So you see that there's an index file, but it's not HTML, it's a markdown file. There's an about file, it's in Markdown. And just for fun, there's a widget file, but it's in XHTML. When I say XHTML, I just mean HTML5, but I follow the rules of XML, so I have ending tags and such. We'll remove that restriction later, but it's nothing too scary. It's just HTML with following the rules of XML. And there's a central project file for GUISE Mummy. Basically, it's optional, but you can add other configurations, as you're going to see in a second. So if you want to take your source files and generate a static site using them, it's as simple as saying GUISE Mummify. So static site, you're creating a mummy of your site. It's one way to look at it. And here's what you're going to see. In fact, if you'd like, I will just show you what that looks like. This source, this sample site here is from the GUISE Mummy basic demo, which you can download from GitHub right now. You simply go into the basic demo, the demo basic directory, and you can see some of those files that I mentioned. For example, here's the about file. It's just a standard markdown file. You might want to see that, so I'll make it bigger. So it gives a title using the YAML header, just like other static site generators do. It tells about the site. The interesting thing is that there's a template here. And this template will wrap sort of like a header around all the files. So you have one template. Static site generator will take all the input files and apply this template to them. And so this is the source site input directory tree. So all we have to do is say GUISE Mummify. And we're done. It already generated the entire tree. You can see now in the target directory We suddenly have an index.html file that was generated from the markdown file. If you've used, has anybody used a static site generator in here? So has anyone else, the other people heard of static site generators? Okay, so at least we know the subject matter here. So this is standard static site generator. And so I generated the site. Now we can use embedded Tomcat. Oh, and the interesting thing I want to show you, though, is under the site description directory, it's created a bunch of sidecar files for you automatically. So, for example, about.html.turf, it has the same sidecar file you saw earlier on the slide. It's just that Guy's Mummy generated for you automatically. So that's the answer to one of those two questions. How do I get sidecar files for my entire site? Well, you can do them by hand, or you can use Guy's Mummy to statically generate your site. Now, if we want to test that, we can use embedded Tomcat. Guy's is using embedded Tomcat to actually serve that file. So I can say Guy's serve, and then I can go over to my browser. And here's the site that I just generated. So we've got about.html, and we've got widget.html. So I'm browsing locally from localhost dynamically using Guy's, but Guy's is using embedded Tomcat. And if we want to, we can even deploy this to AWS, because AWS has a facility to serve files directly from S3 buckets. So all we have to do is go into the project of Guy's Mummy for the example site that I just showed you. And I'm going to uncomment these files, and I'm going to say, I want to deploy my website to, just for, I'm going to use US West 1. Anybody else, you have a region you prefer? We can use US West 1 because it'll be faster, because it's local. Or it's closer, West 1. What bucket name do we want to use?
TomcatCon.
What's that?
TomcatCon.
TomcatCon. Like that? And so I won't interfere with other people's buckets. I'm going to call it .globalmentor.info. All right, just to prove to you it's actually working. TomcatCon.globalmentor.info. So all I have to do now is I go to the command line, and I type in Guy's deploy.
Is it going to be HTTP or HTTPS?
Sorry?
It's going to be live, right?
Like, yeah, in fact, I forgot. I'm going to have to. It's live already. It's already deployed.
HTTP or HTTPS?
HTTP, because from directly from buckets you only get HTTP. You have to use CloudFront to do the HTTP.
So TomcatCon.guys.
Well, you got to do the region thing. So let me copy it here. Just a second. Copy it over here. Why is it my home and end? Oh, sorry, I got two lines there, so it's actually a very long line.
So then US West 1,
TomcatCon? There it is, TomcatCon, Global Mentor Info, whatever. And this is my site. You can access it anywhere. I just deployed that static site from markdown files and stuff using Guy's Mummy to a bucket in Amazon S3. Now, if I want to, I can go the extra step, and in a new version, Guy's Mummy will do this for you automatically, but I can do the extra step of going to CloudFront and say I want a CloudFront distribution of this bucket, and go to Route 53 and say I want a, or 52, I keep forgetting which one. To say that I want a free SSL certificate. And so suddenly it will serve the site from the bucket all around the world. In fact, my presentation is deployed all around the world at all the CloudFront sites, whether it's in São Paulo, whether it's in the UK or whatever. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you go back to the demo tab?
Yep. This one here?
Yeah. Can you click on widget, please?
Yep.
Why does it say .html at the end? I thought the whole point was to clean up the URL.
Okay, there's two questions there. The first one was, is why does it say .html? That's because I had a bunch of site stuff, source files, and I told Guy's Mummy to generate a static site, and I did not tell it to remove the extensions.
Okay.
So sometimes in my explanations I go step by step. And so the second question, I thought the whole point was, you know, take those things off, and that is correctly, that's correct, because that's the next step we're going to go to.
Gotcha.
Sorry. Well, I enjoy teaching things. Sometimes I go little baby steps, and so when I'm in front of a very technical audience, maybe you should jump to the... So anyway, you can see that's how easy it is to deploy the whole site to Amazon S3. And you saw me do that. All right, now we're to the grand finale, clean URLs with Guy's Mummy, Tomcat, and S3. So if we want, for example, to remove those extensions, all we have to do, now this is just to get them off of our generated site. We can go to that configuration file, and this one right here, and uncomment the line that says page names bare. We turn that to true. So we basically we're telling Guy's Mummy we want bare page names, and bare here means just no extension. So let me just go through the same thing that we did before. First, I'm going to do a guys clean. That's just like Maven clean, just to get the stuff out of our. Otherwise, I would have HTML files and not files with HTML extensions and not HTML extensions in the target directory. So I just did a guys clean. Now I'm going to do guys mummify again. Same command. I just changed the configuration. You'll notice here in the target, suddenly we have about an index and not about.html and not about and not index.html. And also in our site description directory, rather than having index.html or about.html.at.turf, we have simply about.at.turf. So the same thing, we just took out all the extensions. And it was that easy. I changed the setting in the configuration. And so, this is just what I did. This is just in the presentation. So now we want to test that locally. Before we serve it to S3, we want to test it on our own machine. Now, testing the earlier site where we just generate .html files, that's pretty easy. You can just pull up from the file system with Chrome or whatever. It's a little harder when you go into a directory and you want it to automatically find the index.html file. You can't do that with Chrome or something unless you're actually serving them locally. But otherwise, we could pretty much test our files locally with Chrome or something. However, when we take the extensions off, it becomes harder. So we definitely need a way to test the site locally. And that's where the importance of Tomcat comes in. Tomcat being extended to recognize these metadata sidecar files. So I'm just going to do the exact same thing here. I'm going to say guys serve. And this will prove to you that Tomcat now knows how to find those metadata sidecar files, because now I'm at localhost 4040 and I go to widget and suddenly widget has no HTML file. However, it's still serving as HTML. So we know that Tomcat, I mean, if we don't believe ourselves, we can always, you know, go into the network settings of Chrome. We reload it, and we go here to widget, and we look down at the response headers, and there it is, content type, text and HTML. So Tomcat is giving us the correct content type. And that's because it's using the thing I showed you in the first part. It's using those extensions that goes and looks for those metadata files that Guy's Mummy produced. So now we can test our site all day without making it live because we're using embedded Tomcat with the sidecar files. Any questions so far? Yeah?
You said that it integrates with Maven. Can you have it just run a Maven King install and also run the...
I said that it plays well with Maven. It uses the same directory structure. In the future, we plan on creating a Maven plugin so that some of the lifecycle phases of Maven will reach out to Guy's Mummy so that it becomes part of your build process. Right now, it's separate, and it plays well in that it uses the same directory structure, and it doesn't overwrite Maven stuff, you know, and it puts stuff in the target directory.
You have to run both commands, and you have your ready.
Yeah, yeah. If you have something being built with Maven that uses your static site, then you would run them both separately.
And the example is you're using an embedded Tomcat. If you're not using embedded Tomcat, is it possible to also use it?
We'll get to that in a second. No, right now you'll have to. You would have to use embedded Tomcat, or you would have to get these changes submitted into. If they're interested, you know, of having these integrated into Tomcat, the actual source, so that it's later available. Or the way we're using it, there's several. I'll get to that in the second to last slide. The different ways you can apply this. So we've seen how we can serve it locally. Now let's go back to AWS. The interesting thing about AWS and S3 is that each one of the objects in those buckets, they're associated with metadata. And one of the pieces of metadata, of course, is content type. Now, who wants to sit there? Yeah, I'm sure you've seen this on Stack Overflow. Who wants to sit there and for each object you upload, specify, you know, a content type going into the console or write some program to do it? Well, it just so happens, funny you should mention that, let me just say Guy's Deploy. Just like I did before. All I did was change that configuration. Now, an interesting thing you may or may not be able to see that's different from last time, besides deploying the artifact index and products widget, products index, it also says pruning S3 object about.html, index.html. So it removed all those .html files that we had earlier. So if you want to reload that site, if you still have it, I can reload it here. This is the exact same site. You know, no such key. It didn't find widget.html. Why is that? Because it doesn't exist anymore. Let me just go back to the home page and reload that. If I go to widget now, widget is a clean URL, no.html. This is live from S3. I'm pulling down live. And it's being served as a text.html file. So, for example, I can prove that again here by looking at the return type. So this is coming from AWS S3 and being served live. So basically we saw, you had a question?
You can finish the sentence.
Okay. Well, I've already forgotten.
Anyway, since I interrupted you already.
No worries.
So I understand how you tell Tomcat that this is the MIME type and
yeah.
This is the, but how do you tell it to S3 or to any other web server?
Well, when you upload something, there's several ways to upload it to S3. One is to use their sync tool. Another is to, I don't even know if they have it through the console, but the cool and fun way is to use their SDK, whatever language it is. In this case, it's Java. The SDK has ways that you can upload metadata, including the content type.
I see. And what about other hosting providers that are not S3?
This is 0.2.0. And we haven't even thought yet of. We're so excited to get this working, the obvious answer to the question is there's probably loads of other hosting providers that people want to use, and probably a lot of them allow metadata. So we can add plugins to guys to be able to deploy any of those.
But I can still use the Mummify without stripping, without the bare URLs.
Sorry, what's that?
I can use the Mummify tool to still build the static file without stripping the URLs, and that would work in any web server, right?
Yes. So if you want to forget everything about clean URLs, then you can still use, then if you forget everything about clean URLs, then this suddenly becomes an advertisement for our other open source project, which is Guy's Mummy, which is a static site generator. You can use it as a static generator, a site generator instead of Jekyll or Hugo, and it'll work just fine, and you can simply dump those static files in any web server.
Right. But that, for me, it's more useful at this point.
And it's up to you. You simply have that configuration in
the bare URLs.
Yeah, and that's, you simply change that, and when you decide to go the bare URL routes, then you simply turn that on. And in probably the next version, because I wrote this thing to migrate a lot of, like, 15 or 20 years of my sites, right? And so I've got a lot of sites that use I used .xhtml because it was the cool thing to do in the 2000s, right?
You can use DuckSoup, probably.
What's that?
DuckSoup. It's a library.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it would take non-XHTML. It would take something that's not valid XML and still...
Oh, for a library, too. Yeah, yeah. No, but my point was is that I have a lot of published sites that have static I'm trying to say two letters at the same time. XHTML files. And I'm going to use Guy's Mummy to strip all those off. But because Google and all these other search providers have already indexed the old files, there's going to be a facility in Guy's Mummy 3.0 to specify automatic redirects. And S3 handles that as well. So basically, you would have a metadata that says for these, or maybe a global setting for your site saying that have an automatic redirect for all the .xhtml files to the new one. And the nice thing about it is that it would work with the embedded Tomcat as well when you test your files, because we can add that same facility in Tomcat the same way that we added the metadata sidecar file thing. And it would automatically upload that to S3 as well. So lots of new features coming for Guy's Mummy. But this is the first one that's the completely usable, because as I mentioned again, the presentation, the whole Guy site is being run with Guy's Mummy. All right, well, any other questions as we draw to the end here? Yeah?
Can you go back to VS Code? VS Code?
Yeah.
And can you show us the index.md file? I'm curious how you have links which sometimes have extensions and sometimes don't.
I put a lot of thought in this, so feel free to ask any questions.
So your link goes to about.md, it gets rewritten during the mullify stage.
It's completely rewritten. Yeah. You've got a set of source links and a set of destination links. Drinks. You can tell what I'm doing as soon as I'm finished with this presentation. It has an intermediate stage, and it's getting, as far as the level of complexity, it's the life cycle, it's getting towards Maven. You know, we can have complete different phases it goes through, right? And so there's an intermediate stage where it actually, the initial idea was to dynamically generate all this stuff on the fly. But very quickly I found out we need to actually create a map of the whole site first with the metadata. And so what actually happens when it actually starts transforming each file, it goes through and parses, converts this to XHTML first. And in the tree, it finds all the links. Those links then look up into the, it's got a source map, to find out which destination artifact it's linked to, and then ask that source artifact, what's your destination link going to be? So those get all rerouted. So basically, and this is a great, if you're doing HTML files in your source, that means you can test your source directly as well. So if you got like a foo file, .html, well, right now it only supports .xhtml for the source, but we'll support HTML later. So a foo.xhtml that has a link to bar.xhtml, you can test that without even running the static site generator in your directory, and the link will still work, or images or whatever. But then when you run the static site generator, that link will get updated, and you can run Guy's serve to run the embedded Tomcat and everything. That answer your question? Okay. Oh, but the cool thing, since you asked, the templating thing gets even more interesting. Just like Guy's Gitignore, if you got a Git tree, then it goes up and finds the closest Gitignore up the tree, right? So you can override Gitignore with one lower down for some subtree. Well, this templating mechanism in Guy's, and I haven't looked really closely into Jekyll and Hugo how they do it, but basically we can. Am I over time? Oh, yeah. Oh, 5 minutes. Okay. It's great because we have one more slide to go, and we're done. This template, you can put it in any directory. If you put the root directory, for example, it'll be applied to all the children. You can override that template by putting a template in one of the subtrees, and it will go up and find that template. But the interesting thing about the template is that it can have, for example, style sheets. It may have a relative link to a particular style CSS file, but it may be being applied to a file two levels down. So the template itself, those links get updated to the new level of the subdirectory. Before then, it applies the content, and then all those links get updated to their new. So there's several updates, so they all come out correctly. So you don't have to, you know, change your template differently at different levels and stuff. Those all get manipulated correctly. And there's other cool things I could go into, but we're ending the main point here. Let's go come back to your question: how do I use this in to enrich my daily life? So there's several ways you can use this. The first thing you can do is that if you're using embedded Tomcat, you can take our open source Guy's Tomcat extensions and simply use it in your own product. For example, I think, Spring Boot, I think they even have a way to run their program. I think they used to use embedded Tomcat. Are they still using embedded Tomcat?
Yeah.
So for example, if they, just as an example, someone like Spring Boot, if they wanted to use these sort of extensions, they could simply integrate them. So if you're using embedded Tomcat, you can just use these, no problem. Another thing, I don't expect it to happen because you don't want to, as you mentioned this morning, you don't want to bloat Tomcat, but it's free if Tomcat decides, oh, this is really cool, you can always add into the official source code. Or what you can do is that you can use Guy's Mummy to create a static site, and then just as you saw me do a Guy's Serve here, you can use Guy's Mummy, so you don't have to recompile anything. You just have use Guy's Mummy to serve your static site that you just generated, and use some fancy IP table stuff to redirect it. Now, it's probably not the most robust thing in the world, and it's people used to do this. I mean, they'd go in and just and say start this thing, and then when the server went down, you have to go back and run it again, right? Back in the day, I don't recommend that. I'm just saying that's something you can do. The most realistic thing, and that's what we're doing, is we're using this new feature, this new extension of Tomcat, not as a standalone feature, but as a way to enrich our existing workflow. So what we do, we use Guy's Mummy to generate a static site, and we deploy to S3 with no extensions, so we don't have any URL redirections or anything, and we can use CloudFront to deploy that around the world with SSL certificates and stuff, but we need to test that. And that's where Tomcat is invaluable, where we use Tomcat embedded in Guy's Mummy to serve these locally and see the site exactly as we would when it gets to S3 using embedded Tomcat, recognizing these metadata sidecars to show us our website with clean URLs.
But you still need to run through the process, right? Each time you make a change.
Yeah. You need to say, guys, mummy.
If you have like 200 pages or 1,000 pages?
You know, it's Java. I don't even know if there's a static site generator written in Java. It's so fast. I'm already been thinking about how to do this, but in fact, it's already, we use Jira. You can go in, there's a ticket already open for this. What ticket already mentions it, at least. Either 0.3.0 or 0.4.0, we're going to have, just like Maven does, it detects when changes have been made in the source.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you have incremental.
Yeah, incremental builds. Yeah, we'll be adding that. But it's so fast now that, we want to do that because we don't want to wastefully regenerate stuff and upload stuff. But yeah, and we'll have incremental builds. We'll also have incremental uploads to S3 because, you know, those things in the buckets, they have checksums and stuff, so you can know if you've uploaded or not, if you've changed, so on and so forth. So that's coming.
You showed the Tomcat example, some code example at some point. Like,
yeah.
For example, using the resources is great to integrate, but the thing is that you shouldn't be using a constructor with an argument. You should use a no-argument constructor and set a property. Otherwise, you tie yourself to Tomcat embedded, which is a shame, I think.
Let's see here.
Here.
Which, this one here?
Yeah, basically it's new site root, site description directory as a pattern.
Oh, okay.
When you use builds in Tomcat. So this way you can use that in server.xml as well.
Oh, so you have a way in Tomcat for...
You can configure the resources for a context, no problem.
You can?
Yeah.
You learn something new every day. And I'm not a hardcore Tomcat expert. I've been using it for 15 or 20 years, but this is the deepest I've been into it. So you're saying that if I simply if we update our code so that we have like a setter for the directory, then we could use this in our
you don't need embedded anymore.
That's why
maybe this convenience.
But are you saying, could you go into server.xml and simply configure this thing then?
Yeah.
That is so...
Yes, you can configure the resource.
My presentation suddenly became more useful and more important. Look at that. So very soon we'll try to release 0.2.1 so that you can, without even using embedded, and if you don't want to use Guy's Mummy, just don't tell me about it, you can use this in your own Tomcat by updating server.xml or something, by configuring the site root.
Yeah, generally when you extend Tomcat objects, it's better to use the bin pattern because that's what we do too. So this way it's more flexible. So.
Oh yeah. Any way to use it without, because some people don't want to use embedded Tomcat and would like to just use the distributed version.
Do you have plans to support metadata other than the content type? You showed in your code example you're only dealing with content type.
Yeah.
You essentially ignore the rest of the TURF file. Right.
As far as Tomcat goes, yeah.
Okay. I was curious because something that is very, very difficult to do in Tomcat, and I've been wanting to do, is pre-compress certain resources.
Okay.
Like, my site's CSS file is never going to change for a particular release.
Mm-hmm.
So, pre-compress it, deliver it pre-compressed to the client.
Uh-huh.
So that you don't have to do gzip on the fly.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if we could do that and use something like this, that there are all kinds of hacks to this would be kind of nice, just sort of...
You can put anything in there. And again, I can't tell how many hours I've spent on the TURF format as part of the overall IRF framework. It's very flexible. You create your own types, but it's got a lot of types built in. For example, for everything from GUIDs to binary... those are things that are sort of built in. You don't even have to add on top of it. So lots of fun reading if you want to, irf.io/turf. And it's even got, wonderful specification with all sorts of A, B, and F-like productions. 10, 15 years of my life when I'm not working on Guy's Mummy and stuff. If you want to talk to me offline on that, and sort of brainstorm ideas on how this might be able to work, or offline or online on the Tomcat users group.
Okay, for that particular application, it's mostly an academic question because what you should do is proxy it somewhere else and have the proxy remember the compressed version, but that's beside the point.
Okay. any other questions? I think I may have 2 minutes early or something. Or three minutes over, one or the other. Thanks everybody for coming.